It is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. I do believe we have Cynthia in the middle studio. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning.
And I do believe we have Janet on the telephone line. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning.
All right, here we go. We're all here.
That's right.
Off to the races.
You know, I had a couple of people email me this morning and say, why did they delay school? Well, when I left my house before 5 o'clock, it was below freezing. The salt trucks were out for not only the towns but the state. It was slippery out early this morning.
The trees are ice coated.
Yeah. So it's just an abundance of caution. You just, you know, you only need a little bit of light
mist
to
freeze. One little. And I was thinking initially, hey, what's this? But when I walked out to my
It's not like snow. It's not like snow. So an abundance of caution is not a bad thing. All right, let's go to the pages of the Lakeville Journal. And Cynthia and I were talking about this. This is a great picture of a woman skating in Lakeville, and it looks like winter out. And I was mentioning to Cynthia that I remember, you know, 60 years ago, there was always a foot and a half to 3 foot of snow on the ground. We had a pond that was always frozen. We had lights out there. You now see how the regular climate change, which is part of the evolution of the planet, now mixed in with the humans involved in it. And this story brings out a big difference.
Yeah. Leah Damico-Walgamuth, who's one of my freelancers, had been discussing with her mother Don Malin's Ice In report from last week on Lake Wenonskapumic. Sorry, I've got a frog in my throat. And she'd been distressed by the fact that there's not really going to be much ice this year. And Don said, just don't go out on the ice. So she went through her old photo albums and found these incredibly cute pictures of herself. And Elizabeth, who I don't know how old she is now, but her daughter, who must be now the age that her mother was in this photo, looks just like her. And there's just so much to love about this photo. You can see the old factory building back there, and you can see the what used to be the Lakeville Journal office in the far distance. So this is Factory Pond, which is the smaller pond that leads into Lakeville Lake. But she talks about skating from the town grove all the way to the other side to Hotchkiss back in the old days. And there's another photo back on A10. They would skate. Like, I always look at the lakes, and I am such a princess. I always think, oh, there's snow out there. I'm not going to skate on that. They're out there in about 2 inches of snow. So a hardier bunch with probably less effective skates even, and having a great time out there.
All right. Right next to that, Sharon Hospital Head is ready to listen and learn.
Janet and I went and met with Dr. Mark Herko, who is the new president of Sharon Hospital. Super nice guy. Interested right now in settling in, hearing what people have to say, what are priorities to people, and then trying to figure out how to make whatever can happen. And there's going to be some kind of a meet and greet with him next week at Monty's in Amenia. So we'll report on that as well.
All right. A story that we've been following here for a couple of weeks, and it's a problem for everybody, not only in Connecticut, but whoever recycles and uses different authorities to burn, it's going to go up by a lot of money this year.
This is one of those stories where we're going to report on it, and everybody's eyes are going to roll up in the back of their heads while reporting on it, and then all of a sudden they're going to go, did you know that the trash cost just went up 50%? You guys should do a story on that. So the trash cost is going to go up by about 50%, and we're all going to feel it. It's a big deal. There's a lot of complexity in why it's becoming harder for us to get rid of our trash and our recycling, and it's not related really to our local transfer stations. It's related to the larger trash disposal sites across the state and really actually across the world. So the town of Salisbury has signed their new contract, and it's, I think, $95 a ton right now. It could go up to $145 a ton in the near future. So that's going to be a problem.
When I looked into this, a lot of the problems is these burn plants, these recycling plants, all now have to be updated with new equipment.
Right.
And
this one's already just old and decrepit.
Yeah.
Period.
So it's a lot of money to maintain that. It's to do it. So it's one of those things that you just have to bite the bullet and understand. If you want to keep recycling, you need these centers, because you can't do it on an individual business to business basis.
Right.
It's got to be a major center that takes in all this stuff. Next to that, though, is your story. Once again, understanding homelessness in Litchfield County.
I had contacted Maria Horn and said, you know, with the legislative session coming up, maybe we should just get together a couple times and talk about what's important to you. And she had said, oh, I could do it on this day, but, you know, I don't know how late I'm going to be out the night before we're doing a census of the homeless population. I was like, I'm totally coming with you for that. It was really interesting. Account of the homeless population in Torrington on one of the coldest nights of January. Every state in America does it. They submit their numbers to federal housing and urban development, and that impacts the grants that towns get. And, of course, they want to keep the total numbers lowest. So one thing we learned, of course, is that you have a much, much higher homeless population in summer because it's just easier to sleep outdoors than it is on a 10-degree night. But so we went out and drove around Torrington and did not find a ton of people. They don't have the final count available, so I can't give you the numbers that we – that actually, Maria, I went home early. Maria and the other volunteers came up with.
All right. Next to that, Tim Abbott, Nature's Notebook, at peace with a changing landscape.
So Marshall and I were just talking about the maple gathering and yeah. how it used to really be more toward the end of March. And in fact, Audubon still has their Maple Fest in March, and the state is doing some kind of event, I think up at Great Mountain Forest at the end of March. But really, people are already putting out their blue tubing and the metal buckets that are so picturesque and beautiful. And when you drive through the area, you'll start to see them popping up on maple trees. But it's quite early for collecting maple syrup. And we'll just see if we can get those nice hot days and those very cold nights.
All right. Now, inside, it's very rare where you can get a nice picture like that, the Eagle Watch
that's
picture.
That's a good one, huh?
Yeah, that's just a terrific picture. It's not that easy to do either.
Yeah, Lance Christensen, amazing photographer and out and about a lot. And actually, speaking of Tim Abbott and Lance Christensen, starting next week and alternating weeks, now that Bernie Drew is retired, I'm going to be putting together a nature's notebook similar to what Charlotte Reed used to do, that's less of a sort of a beautiful poetic essay like what Tim does, and a little bit more like a collection of observations. So Lance is going to be taking photos. We have Roger Liddell, I'm hoping, will give us some astronomy notes. We have Eileen Fielding from Audubon has sent us some stuff. Jody Bronson from up at the Great Mountain Forest is going to send us observations. And Tilly Strauss actually did a wonderful little illustration of some of the blue tubing on the maple trees. But a beautiful photo from Lawns. And I was driving down to Kent from Cornwall a couple days ago and just looked over to my left, and there was an eagle dropping down to pick up some fish. And what Lon said is there's not much ice, so they're out feeding right now.
Great, great ice fishing season for the eagle.
Not so much for the humans. Don't know.
Hey, the staff of Johanna Hayes has come into our area for a couple of times, once in February and once in March.
Right. She's been really good, not only about coming here in person,
but having
her staff here. And Emily Armstrong is running those, and she's great. And the next one is February 19th at Gear.
I'm trying to think back if anybody else sent their staff up into this area as much as she has, and I don't think so. I mean, a lot of people have been visiting our area, but not visiting our area and then having their staff come up and do follow-ups and stuff.
I remember when Chris Dodd came once to some event at Cornwall Consolidated School. I can't remember what it was. And he had no idea how to get here. I think he was an hour late because they got so lost.
Probably went to New York. Yeah, all right. And they've got a new physical therapist at SVNA.
They do. They have growing team, growing facilities, really doing amazing work. And if you've ever been unlucky enough to need it, but lucky enough to have them there, you really appreciate it.
Well.
And then we have our season for romance on page A3, which I'll briefly say Tilly Strauss, who's a wonderful artist. And actually, she is the granddaughter of Trixie Strauss, for whom the annual Trixie Strauss Bird Count was named. So she's been doing wonderful little just unexpected illustrations and sort of stories. And so she put together something on the U.S. Postal Service stamps that are seasonal for Valentine's Day. And Janet, do you want to talk about the rest of the romance page?
Well, it's advertisers who have all kinds of events happening for Valentine's Day and anything to do with romance. By all means, look over what's happening in the area and get out there with your honey and take part.
All right, I want to move on to a nice story on Kevin O'Connell. I mean, Gear went through a major overhaul back when we started our local access TV station. And
which is a Gear.
And they're gearing up now,
so to speak.
for another expansion. And ready for the silver tsunami.
This is huge and really important what's happening over at GEAR. And I will say, I spend most of my week at GEAR between going for physical therapy, going to the Railway Cafe, and going to the Y. And Kevin O'Connell really has done a great job. A very interesting background. He was a physical therapist himself. Deb Alexinas wrote quite a lengthy profile of him, but really nothing to cut out. Really an interesting life, and you get to understand why he is so emotionally invested in making GEAR the best possible place. And anybody who's been at GEAR knows that the Lodge is beautiful and the Y is beautiful. The facility for people who need more round-the-clock support is not great. It's really from the 60s. It's an older style of facility where people have shared bathrooms and, you know, just a little run down. And so Kevin is moving forward with the fundraising and getting all the permits for building great new facility, much more modern, and also additionally building some cottages because God bless whoever originally invested in the GEAR property. It's extensive.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a lot of room for them to spread out, and they're doing some interesting stuff with it.
All right. A nice little story about the Annie coming to the Falls Village Children's Theater.
There's nothing funnier than talking to kids about the parts that they're playing, because I think we always underestimate how serious kids are about anything they do. And I think it's tempting to sort of say like, oh, Annie, that's a nice play. But when you talk about it, these kids are really thinking about what their parts are and what's amusing for them in this activity that they're devoting a lot of their time to. So very funny little story by Jana Siller about the upcoming Annie at the Falls Village Children's Theater.
And Patrick's story about the switchboard, I think that's pretty cool.
Right, because Marshall and I don't remember when there were actually switchboards, or maybe you do. But
I do. Yes, do I
you?
Do, unfortunately.
Oh, gosh. But I do remember Lily Tomlin doing one lady. So for all of you young people who have no idea what we're talking about, read Patrick's article and look at that photo.
Heck, I remember you shared the phone, and you only picked it up if you had a certain ring.
Party line?
Yeah, party line. And people used to listen. It was terrible. Well, that's how
no
old
secrets.
I am. All right. On the next page, Sharon is looking ways for a van to help disabled residents.
This is a big deal because around here it's very hard, even for people who are relatively able-bodied, to travel. And boy, would we love to have an Uber or Lyft system here to help get you to your appointments. But we don't. And the transportation service out of GEAR is very, very overstressed and I would say undersupported and always looking for a little support from the towns, which I'm sure we'll hear about as budget season comes up. But Sharon looking to buy their own van.
And Sharon at a town meeting where they appointed their new Region 1 rep. And also the tennis court is going to be fixed.
Yeah, that's a nice little tennis court out there. I used to play there, but it's gotten a little bit, you know, as tennis courts do, they deteriorate. Yeah.
And photos in Kent evoke a rich life in a bleak Russia.
Rob Ober, so interesting, and his father, Robert Ober, who I just finished reading his book, and was a diplomat in Russia in the 70s and 80s. And so Rob, as a child, lived there while his dad was a diplomat there and became fascinated with Russian art, especially nonconformist art that was fighting back against the government and making commentaries on what life was like at a very difficult time, which I really got an intimate sense of from reading his father's book. So Rob is a beautiful, beautiful show up of photos by Vladimir Sikov, who also was a chronicler of high society and has these great photos of 80s, design and art celebrities on his website. But the show that Rob has done is Soviet dissident artists, beautiful portraits, some of the nicest portraits I've seen. They're all unframed. He's got them literally hanging to the wall, I think, with tape. But they're beautiful big prints and definitely a show worth seeing. And he's got a new show coming up after this one closes of dissident artists in Putin's Russia.
All right. And you've got the scoop.
With Dana Krause or with the Chocolate Fest? Which one? Oh, the Inside Scoop. Yeah. This is a new series that we started because when we did our survey over the summer, people said they want more profiles. They want to know about who's doing what. And that's why, so the Kevin O'Connell story was an Inside Scoop. So it's a profile of a person that's keyed into a news event. So for Kevin at GEAR, it was the expansion of the facilities. For my friend Dana Krause, it is a really nice write-up she got in Forbes. With this little business that she sort of started in her living room, she sort of, she was a big advertising person in New York at high-end luxury magazines and moved up here, and the kids were young. Both the kids went to Sharon Center School, and she had to figure out a way to have a job that would allow her to be here when the kids came home from school and to take them to doctor's appointments. So she started just sort of by chance, selling luxury jewelry, high-end estate quality jewelry. And it's turned into a huge business for her. And of course, you know, the main office is down in New York, but she does a lot of her work up here in Chern.
All right. I want to go to the Salisbury page because I've read a couple of her books, interviewed her a couple of times, and that is a presentation that was held at Noble Horizons with Jesse Sheehan. And she made – this time, she's done things where I've seen books where you don't have to cook or bake to make a dessert, but this one is just a one-bowl dessert.
Right. I haven't yet gotten the Jesse Sheehan train, but it seems like it's a fast-moving one. She's doing a lot, and everybody loves her, so I guess I'll have to go to her next event. But it was a Valentine's Day-themed cooking demonstration at Noble Horizons. As Marsha said, one bowl cakes, and I keep hearing about the Nutella cake. I guess it's Nutella and cream cheese and an Oreo cookie and butter.
Very bad crust. For you, but very good tasting.
And I said, one person said, Kate Beattie said to me, and there's whipped cream on top. And my reporter, Lila Hawkins, said, there's not just whipped cream. There's a mountain of whipped cream. So I had to go and get a diabetic shot and just hearing about it. But I'm sure it's delicious.
It's true. All right. It's got to be 2,000 calories a piece. All right. Yeah. On the left side of the page, Peter Vermilia once again.
This was a fan favorite within the office. Everybody thought it was really interesting. And so Peter's doing a lot of talks in the area. He is an award-winning teacher. He's a Gilder Lehrman Teacher of the Year. And everybody who – so, we gauge a lot by what our summer interns say. And our summer interns, who are very clear about who they like and who they don't like, they love Peter Vermilia. He's a great teacher, always does interesting talks. And this one was on the slow dissolution of slavery here in an area that is known really as an abolitionist state.
All right. Patrick Sullivan, when memory loss isn't cause for concern.
I think this is one of the biggest areas of concern for people up here. Is everybody's
Makes
kind
me
of wondering.
Feel better after reading this.
Right? And I had heard this down in Florida when my dad was getting older, too. And, you know, read the article. But one of the things that they always say to people is, if you just forget something, it's okay. That's normal aging. If you forget something and you're never able to retrieve it, that's a little bit more of a problem, and you might want to go and get it checked. But do read Patrick's article.
All right, you've got the story on the Junk Fest, and it looks like the weather is going to cooperate. We're going to get rain. It changes to snow early on Friday and ends very quickly. It'll clear out. And then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday look okay.
We were watching the forecast this morning, and it's moving quickly. Everything's changing, even as of last night. It was supposed to be raining all night Friday and snowing all day Sunday, and that seems to be now that we're going to have pretty clear skies, great weather. I was talking to Willie Hallahan yesterday from Salisbury Winter Sports Association, and I said, is President Ken Barker nervous about it? And he goes, seems to not be. So they were out last night making snow. I went over yesterday afternoon and watched them and was too much of a coward to climb up on the tower. It's pretty rugged terrain out there right now. But Friday night, of course, target jumping under the lights, which is super fun. It's the opposite of the ski jumps, which is they're trying to reach a specific target. That will start at, I think, 7?
Yep, 7 o'clock. Then they have the human dog sled race.
Which is hilarious if you've never seen it. I used to like it better when they would do it during the day. I don't really go at night because it's just too cold.
And the food check that night is donated, and Sunday in the Country Food Drive makes money off the food that's sold.
Oh, there you go. A lot of people are going to that, and we'll be happy to know it doesn't have to be canceled for the rain. Then Saturday is the Salisbury Winter Sports Association jumps. Sunday is the Eastern Invitational, and we have that's an Olympic qualifying event, so you have world-class jumping. I'm always surprised by how many people have never gone to the jumps. It's unbelievably fun. You don't have to stay all day. Wear your warmest shoes. Stay for an hour. It's really, really great.
And the snowball on Saturday night at the White Hart.
The snowball Saturday night.
Tangled Lines by Patrick Sullivan.
A summary of last year. Of course, Patrick, one of our most popular columnists, summing up last year's fishing, and because, of course, he's already thinking about next year.
Let's go to the opinion page. And, Janet, the editorial, can a solution be found? I think it has been found after the Falls Village meeting and listening to what's going on there. It looks like they're going to pursue this and try to do it by going to individual towns and putting it on the individual school budgets.
Same thing at Kent last night.
Yeah.
That's right. And we're not just talking about middle school sports here, but we're talking a bit more globally for Region 1. And so if this solution works and they can find a structure that can be carried forward, they should really consider that there are other places in these elementary schools where cooperations will need to happen if the trend that has been going on for the past 10 years continues. You know, maybe maybe the initiatives that have been taken on to bring young families into the area will have more effect than they have in the, excuse me, in the past. But if not, this is just the beginning of how these schools need to think differently, the educators and the administrators, you know, and the boards. And, you know, cooperation needs to be the rule of the day. So, right. It is good. I connected with Pat McHare and with David Belson before I wrote this and knew that things were happening in the background, but still thought it was important that we take a step back and think about this and take the lessons forward.
Yeah, sometimes the simpler route, that which is not even thought of, is always the best route, and that's why I always thought that the elementary schools would love to get together and put their budgets together that way, and that way they have control over it, and each town has control over it. So it's good, and I think we're going to get communications between the ABC committee and the Region 1 now. I really hope that's the most important thing we need.
Well, that is the most important thing, because without that, that sort of friction is just bad for everybody. And it trickles right down into how the students feel in their school.
All right, turning back to pages, 1920, Mrs. B.D. Jones was confined to the house with laryngitis. There's a lot of people that wish that would happen to me. All right, on the Viewpoint page, lots of different stories, and Peter Steiner is back.
Yes, right. He has a cartoon that will make you stop, look, and smile, and think. So that's what we always love to get from Peter. We have from Tony Peel a piece on the coronavirus. He certainly, as a former director and legal counsel of the World Health Organization, has a lot of experience with other pandemics, and he talks about that. And it's good information. We'll have more next week from Rich Kessin, so keep a lookout for that. And we have Dick Ollis talking about getting what you pay for from state legislators, and lots of good information in this one, too. For those who aren't aware of how Connecticut state legislators are paid, this will be an eye-opener. And Chris Powell on the Doulos suicide, a tragedy, especially for TV news, and his lawyer, and John Swan on a Franklin gap in our history books. And we have lots of good letters, so do read all of those and send some for us for next week.
All right, and Cynthia, A10, you know, you look at that picture, and is it going to be, oh, there's a bunch of people standing out years ago on a field in the snow. No, ladies and gentlemen, they're in the middle of Lake Full Lake.
Yeah, standing there in their ice skates in 2 inches of snow, which is almost impossible.
I know. All right, well, we've got about 2.5 minutes left, and that means you can talk about what we've got in Compass.
So they're doing the Bolshoi Classic Ballets on HD at local theaters, and Jenny Hansel went and reviewed Giselle, which is the original Giselle before Tom and Giselle, and talked about what it's like to watch ballet on screen, not in person. And Jenny is a big dance aficionado, and she said it's great. So read her review. She'll explain to you not just about Giselle, but about the upcoming season, because I think there's 4 more ballets that are coming, all of them the classics that you love. And then I spoke to the organizers of the Catskill Jazz Factory, who are doing programs throughout the region. It's a really exciting program. And they're working with the Millbrook Arts Group to bring, I think, 4 jazz musicians to the Millbrook Library coming up this month. And some really amazing young New York artists, all different kinds of jazz and jazz soul, and a kind of an incredible smoky jazz night at a sunny Millbrook Library in the afternoon. And Patrick Sullivan talking about The Gentleman, which, you know, it's just, how can this movie be bad? It's directed by Guy Ritchie. Everybody you love is in it. So he made a couple commentaries about the plot, but I'm still going to go see it. And then Alexander Wilburn, this is turning out to be the big event of the spring, when the Beaujolais Nouveau is announced, or is released. But so everybody's talking to me about the season being announced for the summer Sharon Playhouse shows. Alexander has the list there, some really fun shows. And, of course, there's the cabaret shows. Excuse me. I think I'm extra allergic to the cats today. Forgive me for coughing into the microphone. the rest of the season coming up and the cabaret shows continuing through spring. And I think that's all I can say before I start coughing.
Well, there are things in calendar to go and do this this week and next week. So get out there when the weather allows it.
That's it. All right, guys, we will speak to you next week.
Thank you so much.
That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal here on Robin Hood Radio. Of course, you can find right now the Lakeville Journal at tricornernews.com while they're setting up their new website and doing that. But also, you can find them on your local newsstands. They have home delivery. And you can find them right here on Robin Hood Radio every Thursday from about 8:30, 8:35 to 9 o'clock. On Robin Hood Radio, and always on demand, robinhoodradio.com. Click on This Week in the Lakeville Journal.